We're glad to have you with us today on this beautiful September day. Looks like Ida has pretty well left the United States, so wherever you may be this morning, more than likely you're having a beautiful, glorious morning, great sunrise in the sky, reminding us of the power and might and glory of God, so glory to Him. Glad to have you with us wherever you may be, whether you're at work, whether you may be still at home, perhaps doing chores around the house, maybe you're working out and got your earbuds in, you're driving to work, wherever you are, we're glad to have you with us, and we certainly salute all of you, because as we freely admit on a regular basis, there would be no network without listeners, and so it's because of you that the network experiences the great success that she does. So anyway, thank you for coming along for the ride this morning. We're still in Matthew 5, so if you want to get your Bibles out, we're beginning into the section which is beginning at verse 13, talking about salt and light, one of my favorite sections of that particular passage. That is the Sermon on the Mount. But anyway, we'll be there in a minute if you'd like to be turning to that and getting set up with your pen and paper, getting your chat window opened. I'm not in there, as I always try to announce and be upfront and honest about it. I can't walk and chew gum at the same time. I'm a one-track mind kind of guy. And so if the if the chat window's open and I'm seeing comments, I am easily distracted. So I apologize that I'm not in there with you. But y'all take full advantage of it and get in there and salute one another with a holy text. And stay in touch. Talk about the subject at hand or whatever. So to all of you that are listening, thank you very much. I know Jeff is listening over there on the east side of the United States as he begins his morning routine there to begin his three-day weekend. And got our correspondence in the mail from you, brother, so thank you very much. Salute your lovely wife for us. Tell her we said howdy. You fly over to the Alabama-Georgia area. We got listeners down there. We got Andrew has been driving. He's headed to the Pensacola area. Generally speaking, going to Alabama, but, you know, Pensacola is not far from there. Got family, you know, the Poe family there in Alabama and over in Florida, and, you know, folks all around that area are listening regularly, and so we appreciate them and the work that they do for the kingdom. You go up north and you find the McClures up there and nestled in White, South Dakota. And no, that's not a reference to the snow. It's not snowing there, but that's their community name. White, South Dakota. Kind of neat. Appropriate then in the winter, isn't it? But love Sandy and Mike and what they do, and they're great kids. And we're appreciative that you're on board with us. You come flying down through the middle of the map, and you find yourself back in Texas again. And who do you find listening but one of our great families over there in Southwest Texas, the Smithies and Miss Frida, listening in to TGRN on a regular basis and helping. Ryan still helps with our digital issues, as it were, administrative ailments, you might say, because I'm a digital dummy. I do good to get through the day and my phone not blow up on me or me lock it up because of pushing the wrong button. But anyway, Ryan's always there to save us, and appreciate him and Priscilla and the kids. Miss Frida, you come on up through the middle of the state and you find so many of our broadcasters, you know, here in the local area that are listening on a regular basis. So we salute you men and the work that you do. We think about just right around the way. We've got many of our first responders that listen regularly, and they're in between shifts. They're traveling to and from calls, whatever the scenario is. Appreciate all y'all. As we mentioned, our announcer, Brian, he's been with the force here locally for, I think it's 22 years, I guess, 22 years. Yeah, so a lot of great people that are listening, a lot of great people that are listening and protecting us. I know my mom is listening over there in Tennessee, Brentwood, Tennessee, and we're glad to have you along with you, with us this morning. Love you very much. And appreciate you so much. Just got off the phone with her, so we did have our morning conversation. Anyway, we could go on and on with listenership, but just know that you are appreciated. Oh, and I almost forgot my dear and darling bride. I would regret that deeply. Love you very much. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you later. But thank you for listening. Appreciate y'all being here with us this morning for the study of Matthew 5, continuing. Take a moment now to consider bulletin board thoughts, prayer requests, et cetera. We've got a prayer request that has been high on our list for some time now. Deanna DeLeon, she is recovering from a horrible accident, and we have been continuing to lift prayers up on her behalf. She's over there at the Cornerstone Specialty Hospital excuse me, in Conroe, and we've been receiving some really good updates on her. We have seen videos of her taking her first steps. We've seen we've heard rather that she is talking to some degree on the phone. She had a chance to talk to her grandmother, which I understand was really touching to be able to witness such a thing. We've received pictures of the cards and the banners and the letters and the things that are hanging all over her room, even from much of the church family that, you know, has gone to support her well-being. So continue praying for Deanna as she continues to heal there in Conroe, Texas. And those that have been updating us on that, the Hudson family, Phil and Tammy are both sick with the COVID stuff. So pray for Tammy and Phil. Keep them in your prayers and others. We know that the Sparks, you know, great champions for Christ just down the road a little bit in Caddo Mills. They both had this COVID stuff and are healing from that. So anyway, lots of stuff going on around us that we need to be praying about. Certainly need to be praying for our leadership in Washington because they are lost. They are in a fog. They've got no idea what they're doing. And their leadership skills are waning. So please, it is our duty, whether you're an R, D, or an I, whatever, in between, that doesn't matter when it comes to Christ and his body. We have a responsibility to pray for these individuals, pray that they get straightened out and get back on track, because they are driving America into a deep hole that we may never be able to get out of. So pray for our leaders. Pray for Texas. Texas and their abortion issue that has just recently been addressed by the Supreme Court. You know, we're continuing to hold the front lines as it relates to murdering babies. So continue to pray for our leaders, even if you like them or not. You may not like Greg Abbott. But it is your responsibility to pray for him, and as we do for all leaders. So, having left that without getting off into some kind of a political quagmire, let us announce a few things that's going on. We had a preacher's meeting just a few weeks ago on a Thursday, and as we went around the room asking the brethren, you know, if they had any meetings or events going on where they work locally, to raise their hands. And so several raised their hands, and it was kind of, I guess, kind of funny, but there was about three or four different hands that went up, and their meetings are all the same week. all of them are October the 3rd through the 6th. And so wherever you are, the reason I say it that way in kind of a jovial fashion is wherever you are, you're going to have something to do that week. That's for sure. You could almost go to one on Sunday, one on Monday, one on Tuesday, one on Wednesday, if that's what you wanted to do. But the one that I have a flyer on, because of his great diligence, old Russ Tracy got this flyer to us. And so October 3 through 6 down at Edgewood, they've asked Ed Stover to come in and address the topic of growing in Christ. And so their regular service times on Sunday morning are 9:30 and 10:30. They're going to have a lunch at 12, and then they're going to have a reassembly at 1:30 and listen to Brother Ed one more time. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, respectively, 7 o'clock in the evening. So that's what's going on at Edgewood. And like I said, it's in several other places. New Boston is doing the same thing. They have asked Mike Bonner to come in from the San Angelo area, and he's going to be addressing great lessons on Sunday through Wednesday. And so the same thing is going to be, the same schedule is taking place there at New Boston. He's going to be addressing the triumph of truth. And so Sunday morning at 9 and 10, that evening at 6, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, respectively, at 7. So that's two of those that are coming up October the 3rd through 6th. That's New Boston and Edgewood. And I think the other ones, I think the other one was Mount Pleasant there at the North Jefferson congregation, and it seemed like there was one more. And I have probably forgotten it. But that goes to my point. If you've got a flyer that you can send us and you want us to announce your upcoming event, please make sure and get us a flyer, and we'll take care of that. One of those flyers that we just recently got is a reminder that the winter events are coming, and beginning October the 13th, even at the North Jefferson congregation, the Bible Bowl is kicking back up. So the Bible Bowl runs October to April. And then the summer series runs like, you know, June, I guess, June, July, sometimes into August. So this is our winter event that is coming up. It's always the second Monday of every month. And this year we're going through the book of Joshua. So remember, 7 o'clock at the North Jefferson Church of Christ, October the 13th at 7 p.m., and we'll be testing on Joshua 1 through 3. And then the dates will follow, as I just announced. So that's coming up right around the corner, beginning even next month. So those are the flyers I have in front of me. And so, again, if you've got a flyer, if you've got an announcement that we can help to get out into the Brotherhood, even around the world, for that matter, then let us know and get us a flyer so we can get to that. As I always mention, there's plenty of stuff going on throughout the day here on TGRN.org. And so if you have the ability to stay tuned, or, you know, kind of keep it down a little bit in the background because you're at work or whatever, just be reminded there's great programming coming up all day long. The afternoon is kind of a special treat for me personally. The administrator has it set up where we shuffle through the archive of Telstar.org. Telstar is a great site. The Tullys of the Dallas area, I guess it was, for years and years, traveled to all of these lectureships and meetings and recorded everything. And through the years, you know, obviously they sell the product. You know, you want copies of this or copies of that. But in recent years, they have sold that. And some of the local brethren here have bought it and are running it and are continuing to do a fabulous job. One of the people connected with that is our own Ryan Smithy, and he has done some traveling through the years to pick up on these recordings. It has slowed down, number one, because of COVID. Number two is because many things are going digital nowadays, and you don't actually have to have someone there in the room recording it with a camera. Things have just changed. You know, it's like telephone booth. Where did they go? It just happens. So my point is, stay tuned throughout the afternoon if you can, because the Telstar archives are going to be shuffling all afternoon, and you know, the great men of our time that have gone on to their great reward. Some of them will be speaking even in the hallway here, and it just sends a great smile across your face to know that though they be dead, they are still speaking, as it were. So great opportunity all day long. If you can stay tuned, we would greatly appreciate it. And then finally, I know we're nearly 20 minutes into the program, and sorry about that, but please be reminded that we would be greatly thankful, appreciative, if you could tell someone about TGRN today. We would greatly appreciate that. Send them an email or a text or something. Tell them that we're on right now, and we would appreciate that. Advertisement that comes through word of mouth is the greatest marketing that we could ever ask for. So thank you very much. The last thing left to do, all y'all that are out there, Jody and Mama Tia, all y'all grab your cups of coffee. You got them? And we'll take this last drink of coffee together before I start reading and talking. And so here we go. Folgers in the cup. All right. So last week we got down through verse number 12 of the great Beatitudes, and we had the opportunity to talk about persecution. And if you have time, you might even take a minute and go back and listen to Preston's great sermon from this last Sunday. Did a phenomenal job on the persecuted church, even out of Revelation chapter 2. We had that chance last week to end up, kind of went off the air talking about the blessing of tribulation. You know, James tells us that we are to count it all joy when we find tribulation, when we find these trials coming our way. Peter tells us that it is more precious, this trying through trials and temptations. It is precious in that it produces fruit. And God sees us growing. And that's the way the Second Peter ends, grow. So that's the way we ended last week, and that brings us into the topic of influence. Influence is something that is more precious than gold nowadays. You know, in the days gone by, I don't know that I've necessarily seen a lot of it, but I have experienced a little bit of it. But those of you that may be just a little bit more older than I am maybe could testify to this more. But used to be you could walk in to a bank, you could walk into a repair shop or whatever, and when you shook hands, that was it. You didn't need to sign your name on anything. You didn't need to pay up front, half now, half later, you know, kind of a thing. And that's because influence and reputation used to mean something. Nowadays, people don't care. I don't know what the statistics are, but, you know, there's a huge market today for repo workers, repoing houses, you know, especially those that have wheels under them, you know, repoing cars. And for whatever reason, you know, you may fall into some sort of a dire strait. You know, we're not trying to make fun of anybody. Don't get me wrong. But people one day just decide, you know what? I'm done with that. And they just quit paying for it. And so what does that do? That ruins your credit. It ruins your influence. It ruins your financial reputation, as it were. And people don't want to lend to you anymore, etc. You know what I'm saying. Influence is everything. And so as we begin here in verse number 13, we're going to have to address some of this today. And thankfully, Jesus has already taught us the golden standard of maintaining influence. And so here we go. Verse 13 begins, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. I have a sermon that is packed away somewhere, and I've preached it here before. Good for nothing. Good for nothing. Could you imagine being labeled as good for nothing? You know, it's kind of the idea that came in the early calling of the disciples. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? You know, Nazareth, in Nathanael's mind, was good for nothing. Good for nothing. Well, can you imagine being called good for nothing? You know, in the end of time, when the great judgment is going to take place, there's going to be some that will, in fact, be labeled good for nothing. That group of people are the ones that will face God's fiery indignation, the ones that will find out what Gehenna is all about. These individuals will hear, "I never knew you. Depart from me, slothful and wicked servant." That's good for nothing. All those that are good for nothing will end up in one place. And all those that are, if you'll allow me the thought, good for something, they will end up in a place too. It's called heaven. And so, think about this. Ye are the salt of the earth. You know, salt has hundreds of uses. And as you listen this morning, I would imagine that you've heard 100 sermons on this already. Salt is something that's crazy important. Now, can be deadly. I heard of a brother recently who had to have some heart work done. And one of the folks that were telling me about his previous lifestyle and what, you know, could have led up to this was that he just drank salt, literally. You know, at every meal, he's the one that takes the lid off of the shaker and just pours it on his food. That kind of an idea. And that led him physically. It led him to the surgery table. But really, salt is something that is good. Some people don't use salt, and that's fine. But for the purpose of this particular setting, realize that it's used in the home, it's used in farm work, it's used in construction. As I understand, it's used in making glass. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's probably used, as I remember, we bought some soap up in Beaver's Bend one time from a lady, a little shop that had these homemade goods. And I think she said that salt was in soap. But anyway, it's used in a bunch of different things. Obviously, it's in food processing. If you're drinking a Coke or something right now, you could probably look on the label, and I imagine there's sodium, probably. You know, one of my favorite things to use occasionally is soy sauce. Well, if I'm not mistaken, soy sauce is just liquid salt. That stuff is crazy salty. But it's used in a lot of different things, and we all recognize that. As you think about history, there's been wars that have been fought over salt. I remember even going through school that we, and perhaps in this context, remember that we talked about there was a time when even Roman soldiers were paid with salt. It's interesting that you think about salt and you go back and you look at history and you consider that the Latin word, of course we don't speak Latin, but the Latin word and I don't even know that I'm going to try to pronounce it, but it gives our English word salary. So that causes me to think about things that you've heard in the past. Well, he's just not worth his salt. Have you heard that before? Well, maybe that's where that comes from. He's just not worth what you're paying him, right? Anyway, a lot of interesting things to consider as you go forward. Salt has intricate detail. It's in the intricate details of our lives, whether you know it or not. You know, you may try not to consume much of it, but, you know, you look at these packaged meals and sodas and things of that nature, it's all around. But anyway, we understand that it's everywhere. Jesus then uses that which is familiar, doesn't he? He talks about sowing the seed in Luke 8, Matthew 13. He talks about the sower that went forth to sow seed in the field. Things that are understandable. You know, he talked in general terms to much of the people that had little or no education and taught them incredible heavenly truths. Much of this was done in a parabolic fashion. But it's everywhere. Salt, used by Jesus, has this idea even behind it of a preserving value, that which gives flavor. Salt is used in water purifiers, you know. My mom and dad used to have one of those, and they used to have to get bags of salt all the time to keep in there. So it's used in purifying. It's a positive force, you know. I think about the years ago I saw, and I don't remember which one it was, but there was the coal miner's daughter that was on. I think maybe it was the one where Tommy Lee Jones was in it, and maybe I'm wrong. But anyway, the coal miner's daughter, excuse me, Loretta, she went to an event and she brought a pie, or she had made a pie for her fiance or something. I forget exactly. But anyway, instead of putting sugar in, she put salt in it. And the first bite was like, ugh, yeah. I mean, just horrible. You know when it's there, don't you? You know, that's a great point to make. You know when it's there. When was the last time you accidentally put salt in your coffee instead of sugar? Those of you that use sugar. Ugh, right? I mean, you know it's there. And so that's a great thing to consider. You know when salt is present. It has a permeating effect. The effect that it has with ham, you know, when it's cured. You've had some salty ham before, hadn't you? Well, it's used during the curing process. It's an enduring ingredient. And so, you know, it takes a lot of time for salt to lose its flavor or its effect. And certainly is precious. Not far from here, maybe a little more than an hour's drive, I guess. There's a salt mine. And one of the members down there at Edgewood, if I remember correctly, I think it's Edgewood, maybe it's Fruitvale, but one of the members down there actually works in the salt mine. And so, I mean, these things, I didn't know that there was a salt mine until the day I was informed about it, but so they're still mining salt today, even locally. So it's a precious commodity, and people are paid high dollars to bring this stuff up out of the ground and to manufacture it. So if salt suddenly, excuse me, goodness, if salt suddenly disappeared from the landscape, it'd be uncomfortable, wouldn't it? You know, just think about something kind of silly like toilet paper. Remember last year when all the toilet paper just up and vanished? You know, people were hoarding it, and, you know, companies couldn't keep up, and transportation was low. the whole nine yards. But people were absolutely going nuts because they didn't have toilet paper. Think about that with salt. And then apply that spiritually. You know, and I guess it's, you know, appropriate here, but in Genesis 18, toward the end of that particular passage, you remember the great bargaining that Abraham does with God, you know, as he looks over to Sodom and he knows that Lot is over there. And so he says, if there's 50 righteous, would you still destroy the city? And God responds, as it is recorded there in that chapter, no, I would not. Well, obviously, Abraham knows the area and evidently is fully aware that there's probably not 50 people there that are righteous. Anyway, he works his way down to 40, to 30, to, you know. And so I've always thought, since God never changes, I've always thought that perhaps his grace and mercy has been extended this long because there's still salt. Excuse me. A frog in my throat. Maybe the world is still standing today because the great salt, the salt that you are, the great light that you are producing as a child of God. Just, you know, kind of some biblical speculation on my part. You know, God's going to end it, 2 Peter 3, 1 Thessalonians 4, when he sees fit. But I just wonder if maybe that is not something to consider. Keep on letting your light shine. And God perhaps will continue to let this world stand. So as you think about influence, think about many that have walked before us. You think about those that had great influence and were able to turn an entire nation around. You think about some of those that have walked before. Think about Josiah, King Josiah. Able to turn a nation around. You think about Jonah. Jonah, who went to Nineveh. And I don't know how big Nineveh was, but we can say at least a couple hundred thousand inhabitants probably. I think it'd be safe to say. And with that eight-word sermon, he turned an entire city around. So influence is everything. Influence is everything. Jesus fell upon this from time to time. You would remember that he said that a prophet is really of no avail in his own city. Paraphrasing, obviously. But my friends, influence is very important. And so as we talk about salt, we've got to make sure that it stays pure. You know, when you spill some salt, maybe in the floor, by accident, you know, what's the first thing you do? You sweep it up into the dustpan, and then somehow you try to get it back into the salt shaker. No. You throw it away because it has become contaminated, right? We keep our salt in areas that it can stay dry, probably even away from sunlight, you know, so it can remain in its state that we bought it. You know, it comes in these dark containers, cardboard containers. We try to keep it as pure as possible. Well, that's the way that you and I, as the salt of the earth, you are the salt of the earth. That's what Jesus said. We've got to remain pure. We have to use the ability that he's given us. It's our responsibility. And once it becomes impure, once we go astray, once we run off into false doctrine, once we run to the left, Jesus says it's become good for nothing. And so, as a great admonition today in the first little segment of our show, let's strive together so that we never become good for nothing. God forbid that any of us ever become good for nothing. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. Does he contradict himself? He just said that we are the salt of the earth. And here he says, you are the light of the world. Well, which one is it? You're both. It's just as easy as the example. You know, you can be a father and a husband and a brother and an uncle. You can be all those things at the same time, can't you? Well, sure you can. So you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. One of the things that always runs through my mind when I fly, especially at lower altitudes, coming in or taking off or whatever, you see the city lights, and some areas are brighter than others. I enjoy watching, you know, the roads as they go out of a city, and they're lit for some time. But eventually, the lights stop, you know, as they get to the county lines or whatever. But it's so beautiful to be able to see a city that is lit up, and it cannot be hid. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Well, friends, you are on a hill. You remember in Isaiah 2, we shall go up to the mountain of the Lord's house. From Jerusalem, from Zion, shall go forth the law. Friends, we are that spiritual mountain peak. We are at the top of the mountain. You are it, the kingdom. It is upon a hill, and all are drawn unto see it. And so we have an opportunity before us to continue to let our light shine. Too many times, and again, this is another one of those sermons that's regularly preached by men everywhere, but too many times we find ourselves putting our light under a bushel basket and hiding it, don't we? Shameful behavior. I would submit unto you that when you get out of the car and you go into that R-rated movie, you're putting your light under a bushel basket, you know? When you go into that bar, just to have one little old drink, you're putting your light under a bushel basket. When you compromise at work and you lie, excuse me, about a project that's not been done on time, you're putting your light under a bushel basket. All of these things are relevant to the conversation. God says, you are the light of the world. Don't ever extinguish that light. Continue to let it burn bright. And so as we throw fuel to the fire, what are we doing? We're praying, we're studying, we're worshiping, we're being benevolent, we're edifying one another. We're doing the work of the kingdom. We got our hands on the plow with no intention of taking our hands off the plow or looking back. We got to be plowing forward. And so as we work in the vineyard, that spiritual work of God, we are letting our light shine. It was, I don't know, I'm sitting here in the studio. I can see one of these great paintings on the wall, Kincaid. You know, Robert Kincaid, is he had the great ability to paint these pictures that have light in them. I just had this thought kind of flash through my mind that as you go through the book of Acts, you see that the Jews, they followed Paul everywhere, you know. And I would submit unto you that one of the ways that they were able to follow him is because his path was so lit, illuminated. Everywhere he went, there were additional candles that were lit, if you would allow me that picture. And you know what I mean by that. The letters that he wrote back to the churches to reignite candles that had gone out the flames within the soul, as it were. One of the ways that they were able to follow him so easily was because of that light, the light that he was reflecting of Jesus Christ himself. And so it's interesting, as you think about all of these great examples of light and thoughts that come to your head. Another one that comes to my head is the solar system. Have you thought about that lately? You know what all the planets rotate around? Yeah, that's right. The sun. They rotate around the sun. The light is the center of the universe. Isn't that amazing? And so if it were to be extinguished, and one day it will be, isn't that something to think about? But you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Much of the world is in darkness. That is, they don't recognize Jesus Christ as King of their life, sovereign ruler over all that they see and know. They don't recognize him as deity. Some of that is expressed throughout the New Testament. You know, these some of these Gnostics and some of these individuals that were causing such distress even throughout the first century. Some of these folks, they just believed that Jesus was, you know, he was a real person, but, you know, he wasn't deity. The apostles took his body and hid him somewhere, and all this resurrection stuff is nonsense. The Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection. How sad. How sad indeed. But my point is, much of the world is in darkness. Jesus said they didn't recognize him, and they very well may not recognize you. And so what we do is we try to illuminate the room everywhere we go. Let the glorious gospel be heard. Let it be preached throughout all of the world. Faithful Christians are the only ones that can give this light. Those that are not faithful. I mean, that's the example that we mentioned a moment ago. They have put a bushel basket over their light. So it's up to the faithful Christians. The core of the church, it's your responsibility to let your light shine. People are drawn to light, aren't they? I think of, you know, Camp Ida. Once the sun goes down, you're hard-pressed to see one foot in front of another out there unless you got a flashlight. And so one of the requirements when you come to camp is to bring a flashlight. You need a flashlight. And so without a flashlight, you stumble. Without the Word of God, you stumble. You fall and hurt yourself, maybe even kill yourself spiritually or physically. But the great light of Jesus, it dispels darkness. You know, when you turn a light on in a room, you know what the first thing is that happens? The darkness goes away. I mean, it's just a natural fact. Light dispels darkness. Well, we could go on all day and talk about that, but the influence that we're talking about, you are the salt, you are a preserving effect, you are a flavoring effect, you are a penetrating effect, you are the light of the world, you light the paths for others even to find Jesus Christ. That's the force even behind 1 Corinthians 11:1. Be ye followers of me as I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. He has his light shining, and he is promising, by default, he is promising that he will never extinguish his lamp so that you can find Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the pathway. I'm it. And no man comes unto the Father but by me. And so we have to let our light shine to help others find the way. Verse 15 in this section says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. How easy is that to understand? You know, the lights go out, and the first thing you do is you get a flashlight and you turn it on and you stick it in a cabinet somewhere. No. You know, most of us, you know, I guess, have like a white ceiling. You know, your ceiling, your drywall, you know, quite possibly is painted white. And so you'll notice if you take that flashlight and set it on the table in darkness and you point it toward the white ceiling, then the light bounces everywhere and lights up the entire room. You don't put it under the kitchen table. You put it on top of the kitchen table. So it's a great benefit to everybody that's in the room. So easy to understand. We have got to let our light shine and shine brightly. If it's not shining brightly enough, then we need to do something to throw fuel on that fire. Light me up. Scripture. Prayer. Worship. Benevolence. Edification. Get out there and get busy. Let that light be burning bright. I've heard the expression through the years, you know, burning a candle at both ends. We've got some of those folks here. Every time I turn around and, you know, have the opportunity to see someone in the post office or, you know, whatever, they'll say, oh, yeah, she was just at my house earlier today. She was over there raking leaves because I couldn't, you know, whatever. He was over here earlier and he took my trash can down to the curb for me because, you know, my leg is bothering me and I can't walk. Whatever. I'm constantly hearing of those here at Mount Vernon that are out doing those great things, letting their light shine and even burning it at both ends. That is really working it hard. So don't put that light under a bushel basket. Keep it up high where everybody can see. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let. I mean, it's not forced upon you, but it has a great force within it, doesn't it? Let brotherly love continue, Hebrews 13 and verse 1. Let us. You know, you think about those words. They do carry force with them. But you know what? At the end of the day, you don't have to love in a brotherly fashion. Of course, you won't go to heaven. You don't have to let your light shine. Won't find heaven. But here it is. Let your light shine. Willing, loving service to God. That's how we let our light shine. Your light. Don't worry about your brother's light. You take care of your light, right? You get the plank. You get the beam out of your own eye so that you can help with the speck that is in your brother's eye. So there's a great responsibility to let our light shine. But if yours isn't shining so bright, don't go picking on your neighbor. You make sure yours is shining bright so that you can be like Paul, being an imitator of me. Let's get that light shining. Let your light so shine. And so you think about the great shining. It is not for self-glorification. Oh, but preacher, you missed it. It says right there, they may see your good works. Yeah, but the point of the passage is that what they are seeing, they're seeing that light shine, they're seeing the reflection of Jesus in my life, that glorifies God. Now, if our motives are wrong and I'm going to do like Ananias and Sapphira, and I'm going to run out there and try to sell a piece of property so that everybody will be clapping, oh, what a fantastic Christian you are. Way to go. Well, you'll end up dead just like them. It's about God. It's not about me. these ones that I just referenced that are running around doing all these things in the neighborhood for the kingdom work, I know them personally. And I know that they are not banging the drum for self. They're banging the drum for God. So we're always proud to tell those stories. Let it shine, a radiant glowing, not just a flash in the pan, a radiant glowing, a constant glowing, a constant help for others that they may see. Not just making claims, not speculating, but seeing that you're really doing the work, that you are what you say you are, what God says you are. That's very important. Let your light so shine that they may see, not speculate, see your good works. Good works are those that are qualified as such by God. Right? Works of the flesh. Remember over there in Galatians 5, those are things that are tied directly to the devil. And entrance into heaven will not be had for anybody that are doing such like things, as the passage says. Good works. Good works are those things that we've been mentioning heretofore that glorify God. And glorification is the reason that we do it. God is to receive the glory. God is to be magnified throughout all of the earth. And as we do those things, He is glorified. You may never see that brother or that sister doing that particular work, but God sees him. And the person with whom they were involved saw it. You know, what a great opportunity it is. I think just recently I saw a post somewhere about the, and I think I'm correct in this, but I believe it was mentioned that the Church of Christ in Waverly, Tennessee, was opening their doors and allowing people to come in and be benefited by their dry building and their resources after that terrible flood. Not many people know about that, I guess. And I was just fortunate just to kind of catch a clip and hear about it. But the first thing I thought about was this passage right here, glorifying God. That's what we're here for. Fear God. Keep His commandments. Ecclesiastes 12:13. That's why we're here. That is our purpose. Again, same thing as you read here, Matthew 5, verse 16, glorifying God. Well, that kind of ends the section. My brother Ryan would be proud of me. I only covered 3 verses today. and so that's okay, though. There's no time limit on this. The only time limit that we have is the time limit that will end when Jesus comes back. So we'll continue to study Matthew chapter 5, and we'll pick up, Lord willing, next Friday in verse number 17. So be reading ahead and prepare to share that material with you and together next week. So until then, keep studying your Bibles, keep praying, look forward to the first day of the week, wherever you are, look forward to the opportunity that is yours to go and worship in spirit and in truth. Continue to pray for those for whom we are to pray, certainly the sick, also the leaders of our land, but continue to pray for the church worldwide, that doors of opportunity would continue to open before her, doors of utterance would be swung wide open, where we would have the chance to preach the gospel. If you're local, continue to pray for some of our great works, like the Home of Recovery, the great work that she's doing down there. Pray for the jail ministry, the great work that's going on there. We had two baptisms this week there at the jail. I believe the week before we had 2 baptisms. And so we are continuing to teach and baptize and teach, even as men are incarcerated here locally. But anyway, love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. And I hope that you have a great day. And certainly, since it's only, 9:57 in the morning, hope you have a great morning for the Master. God bless each of us as we continue glorifying Him in all that we say and do. Have a great day. We'll be seeing you.
Yeah.